Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Carton and Roberts. Congratulations on the home opener win. Not without controversy, though, but congrats on the win. Let's go over some of the details of it. What was your perspective of the Conforto at bat and how it ended?
Oh, well, and, you know, it was a great win, first of all. I mean, it's exciting to have the fans here.
Yep.
I got to share that immediately.
Sure.
It was really awesome just to hear the impressions and the fans get the way they got when McNeil hit the solo homer and then when we had the walk-off. But the walk-off itself, definitely something that, you know, I never seen in the past. And then, you know, probably a lot of guys that were present didn't see in the past, you know, just getting a strike call and then turn it to a hit by pitch and the ball nipped Conforto. So,
the umpire admitted afterwards he messed up because he's calling a strike, and because it's a strike, it doesn't matter if it hits him or not. He should be out, and the game goes on. Were you aware of that in the moment? And what, if anything, did you hear between the umpires?
So the first thing, it was the strike call. So as soon as I saw the strike call, I thought, you know, strike out, but then Conforto claimed he nipped in, and he reversed the call. He changed the call. So ultimately, the umpire has to make the correct call so he can, you know, you could say overrule himself, you know. So that's what happened there. So the only replayable thing is if the ball hit or not, Michael.
Right.
And so that's why it stood. So, you know, it was the right call, and then we had the walk-off. That's what forced the Yorma into home plate. So, no, it's a controversial one because of the two calls you get in one there, but just one of those weird endings, you know, that we're all probably going to remember.
Do you expect the Marlins, who are obviously angry at the call, but do you expect them to be pissed at Conforto? Because it does look like he leaned into the pitch, and it worked. It's a win. I'm thrilled as a Met fan, but do you expect the Marlins to do anything about it on Saturday?
Well, I mean, we should see what happens, but knowing Michael for years now and actually throwing batting practice to Michael, like sometimes I throw up in to him in practice and he will take a pitch and he'll move exactly just like that. So that's almost like an instinct that he has on pitches as he wants to get his hands going and maybe pull back or something. But I don't think he has the instinct of really leaning into a pitch. I don't think I've seen Michael do that in the past ever. So, you know, that's where I come from, just by knowing Michael.
Is that, by the way, because obviously there's an off day tomorrow, you guys play Saturday afternoon. Is that something pregame you'd even talk to Mattingly about and say, hey, listen, I throw BP to Michael. He wasn't doing anything Bush League. He wasn't doing anything like that. That's what he normally does, or you just kind of let it go and hope they don't get ticked off and retaliate?
Well, you know, if I get a chance to talk to Don, like I talked to Don. I did see his post-game interview. He said everything right. You know, I think everyone from both sides, you know, can say things right. You know, everyone in their own perspective, we want to win, you know, as much as they want to win too. And, but, you know, talking to him about that particular case, if he asked me, that's exactly what I'm going to say. Cause I know Michael for years and I talked to Michael after the game and, you know, he told me, I don't know what he did. Like I was just taking the pitch and he nipped me.
Well, respectfully disagree, but it doesn't matter because he gave you the W and, you know, at the end of the day, it's about winning games, and it doesn't matter how you win. There's no doubt that he purposely leaned into that pitch, and he got what he wanted. But you got the W. Like, it's not your fault. You don't apologize for winning games. You won the game. And, you know, 3 months from now, whatever the Met record is, that's, you know, we may remember it because it's the home opener and all that stuff. You know, the first game at Citi Field after the, you know, pandemic and fans there. But you won the game, and that's the bottom line. I would think there's going to be a retaliation for it, But you don't apologize for winning, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah, and then you know, I will disagree with you. I just don't think Michael did that on purpose on that count. You know, I think he was getting his hands going, maybe shooting to a fastball in or something. He tried to pull back, but that's just how we react. But listen, you know, Saturday comes here. We're going to show up. We're going to prepare to play, you know, our best baseball again against the Marlins. They're a really good team. They always play really well against us. And that's it. You know, that's the bottom line. That's what we're going to be getting ready for. If we have a chance to talk about the play at some point, we'll talk about the play. I love talking baseball. So,
well, let's talk some baseball and let's respectfully disagree some more. Let's go to Monday night. All right.
Sure.
Is there anything Jacob DeGrom could have said to you? I understand there was a plan before the game, only six innings. I get it. I understand it's the first start of the year. But is there anything Jacob DeGrom, the best pitcher in baseball, could have said to you to change that plan and allowed him to go out and pitch the seventh inning?
Well, first of all, there wasn't a plan for the six innings. The ups, downs, once again, you know, I've explained that a couple times, is what led into the decision. It wasn't just my decision. We were all talking as a group there, and then that's when he led to that.
So he wanted to come out of the game. Jake was like, listen, I've had these ups, downs. He's been on the base pass because he's actually a competent hitter. He was a part of it saying, look, I'm done. 77 pitches, take me out.
Yeah, he was part of it. He was part of that decision, as you know, as our pitching coach was part of that decision. So everyone just convened it, you know, with the 10-day, you know, layoff and all that. So it was that happened. I mean, we all watch the game. We all follow the game. I don't follow necessarily the rule of the three times through the lineup or anything like that. I would love my starting pitchers to go nine innings
Me
all
too.
The time, you know. But in the situations that we were facing with the 10-day layoff and the up and down and the conversations we were having in game, that's what led to this.
Well,
there was nothing planned beforehand.
What is the up and downs? The fact that he was batting, the fact he was on the base paths, the fact that
So the up and downs are the warm-ups to getting into the inning, to going back into the dugout, sitting down, going back to the warm-up, to getting back into the inning stress pitches and things like that with a 10-day layoff. So that comes into consideration to where you are at some point, regardless of the pitch count. Even though Jake was out of spring training with a 100-pitch buildup, so I did share that you know, he had a 100-pitch buildup coming out of spring. But when the 10-day layoff happens and the up downs, like I just explained to you, happens as well.
There's a
group decision, you know, where, you know, Jake is in the middle of
Listen, if Jake's taking himself out of the game, he's taking himself out of the game. I guess the ups downs thing I still don't understand, because like it was a normal baseball game. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, he had his three at bats and he happened to have a couple of hits. There weren't that many base runners against him. Like, that's typical in a National League game. Like, I didn't, the 10-day layoff, listen, Luis, I get that. And if that's just the answer, fine. Especially because the game was postponed and all that. I guess I'd understand that more, but the up-downs thing, that's every game. Like, Jake's a good hitter. Yep. He's going to get on base. So where would that be different than, like, what he may do on Saturday afternoon against the Marlins?
So, yeah, so it will be different. Now there's no 10-day layoff and with the ups and downs. So you just said it. So when you add those things and you also have the feel of the game in-game, you know, if everyone watching it and the pitcher, you know, it comes down to that decision. But I think when you don't have those 10 days, and you have your in-between start routine, and you have your 5 days, I think there's no problem going, you know, to whatever build-up you have, or even more, or depending on the stress of innings. So I'm going to share this again with you. Like, I wish my pitcher, like the way Walker was pitching today, if he could have gone complete game shutout, or even an 0-0, I know, you know, we don't talk about those on the way when they're.
I did. Craig jinxed it on the radio, Luis.
After four, I said, guess what? He's got 15 outs to go. Let's go. Hey, did Steve Cohen reach out to you after the game? This was an important milestone for you and for him as the Mets win their first home game under the Steve Cohen ownership. Did the owner reach out to you after the game? Did you have a chance to speak with him?
Not after the game. I did see him before the game. He came into the clubhouse and we gave him the baseball of the first win. So the catch made by Almora for the final out on the Tuesday game that Pilar kept, and then it was given to me so I could present it to the media when I did my post-game media. That was given to him in the clubhouse in front of the players, and they gave him a round of applause, and he said a few words. So I saw him before the game, and you know, glad we have, you know, his first home game win on the first try. You know, I think it's an awesome day. And before a day off, you always like a win even more. So it's a great day for Steve, for sure.
Are we? Because look, I could sit here and complain about like five other things, Luis, but I'm not gonna do it. So I'll look forward. I'll look ahead. Dom Smith. Are we past Dom Smith sitting against a lefty like Saturday? I mean, he looks so good out there, and he looks better defensively. I give him a lot of credit. Like, he actually looks like a left fielder. Are we past that? Can Dom be in the lineup every single day, man?
Yeah, he and I shared this in the past, too. He will be in the lineup against lefties. You know, I consider Dom in the category of, you know, an everyday player. You know, and him not being in the first lineup, giving the chance to Pilar, you know, that's something that we talked about, just to get Pilar in the leadoff spot that day. It did not work out for us. Pilar got a single later against Alvarado that helped to score another run, you know, but it did not work for us, you know, as we had a plan. But Dom, like you said, he looked really good at the plate, balance against lefties. Nimoz looked really good against lefties.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's good to see our lefties battling there and doing, you know, a lot of the things we want him to do, because they took it into the offseason to get better against lefties. Because if you look at last year's record with our lefty heavy lineup against left-handed pitchers, it was a big negative. I mean, it was a big gap between the win column and the loss column against left-hander starters. So, you know, it's something that we're looking to correct, especially having a platoon type of team with Pilar and J.D. Guillorme and things like that. So, but it's good to see the lefties taking good swings and taking good at-bats against lefties. That could show you that we can have that one lineup and the guys can manufacture a lot of runs.
And Brandon Nimmo today made a great defensive play. He fought that ball off and collided with the wall, but he's been everything you wanted him to be. He's made the defensive plays, and, of course, his bat's red hot right now. So I would think that you're thrilled right now out of Brandon Nimmo.
Yes, I'm so excited for him. And he's stealing bases. He stole one of Aurel Mutu the other day. I don't know if you guys noticed in detail. He's diving head first. That's something that he didn't do before this season. And credit to him. You know, he went on his own to field two in San Luis, which is the turf field, just to dive after, you know, diving after that.
Yeah, that's funny.
Create some muscle memory. Yeah, right. Probably, you know, a couple of scratches, but it's paying off. You know, he's feeling more comfortable diving out there.
It's been great a weekend.
Look, I think the other guy that looks good to do some positives here is Pete Alonso at first base. I mean, he really, and I know you said that to us last week, and I'm like, all right, let's see Pete Alonso look significantly better at first base. He's looked great the first week of the year defensively.
Yes, we're pumped about that. He's pumped about that. He worked really hard to get, you know, to this position. He's worked so hard in the past to get to a position, and last year it was kind of like a down year for him, you could say. But it was such an atypical year too. Like, everybody was just playing catch up whenever they had a bad start. So, you know, it's nice to see Pete nice and relaxed there, and putting into play everything that he worked on in the offseason. Well,
what's the status of J.D. Davis? Obviously, he took the pitch off his hand a few nights ago, hasn't played. He's not on the injured list as of yet, unless you're going to break us news. What's the deal with J.D. moving forward?
Yeah, he was taking swings with his top hand today. He didn't do much with his bottom hand, which is where he got hit. And, you know, tomorrow day off, he's coming for treatment. We'll see where he is for Saturday's game. We're facing a lefty, by the way.
Yes.
So we'll see where he is, see if we can include him in there.
How did the COVID stuff go for you guys? I know there was it was very public that, you know, the day off tomorrow, that, you know, Met players were going to get the chance to be vaccinated. Overall, I respect each player's personal privacy in that regard, but as a team, positive day, successful day in that regard?
Yeah, I think so. I was just there. I got my tag right now. That's why I'm calling a little later. You know, I apologize for that, but I went to it. We were in the line, and majority of the guys were there, you know, also coaches, performance staff. So, yeah, everything went well.
All right, well, listen, we appreciate the time as always. Congratulations on the home opening win. No matter how it happened, a win's a win. Enjoy the off day and Saturday afternoon against these Marlins again. We'll be watching and look forward to talking to you again next week. Appreciate the time.
105 pitches from Jake on Saturday, right, Luis? Thank you.
I hear you. Okay,
listen, yeah, if he throws 101, Evan's going to bitch you and throw 102.
Listen, man.
So you know that going in. Just know that. Every week you come on with us.
Every week there'll be a Jacob DeGrom pitching question.
Listen, I'm telling Luis right now. I know we're a new show, so you're new with us, or we're new with you. I'm just setting it up. No matter what DeGrom does, he's going to want one more.
Not if he goes nine. When he pitches nine, we're going to have the greatest interviews. I'm going to throw bouquets at you. Yeah, you let him go nine, anyway. Louie. Great job.
Congratulations. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good weekend. Thanks, Lou.
All right, guys. All right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!